Welcome back to Stories for Kids. If you are watching this from my YouTube channel, don't forget to subscribe if you have not already done it. And you can share it with your friends and family who also are interested to listen to those stories and watch these stories. And if you are listening this or watching this from my podcast or my Facebook group, so you can interact in the Facebook group and you can ask me if you want to listen or if you want to watch some particular stories. I can download that book and I can read those stories for you. So without wasting much time, so let's learn this week's theme for stories. So this week I will read stories from different type of classics. So like today I'll be reading Aladdin and the Magic Lamp. So this story is a tale from Arabian Nights. Without wasting much time, let's start today's reading, which is Aladdin and the Magic Lamp. So you can see from my screen, Aladdin's father died years ago, abandoning Aladdin with no education, no job and no money. So Aladdin lived life as a street urchin until there was a knock on his door one evening and in strode a tall turbaned man with a flowing cloak and the longest mustache Aladdin has ever seen. "May God be praised, at last I have found you both," the man cried, smiling broadly at Aladdin's mother. "I am Aladdin's long lost uncle, a wealthy merchant, and I offer my nephew Aladdin the chance to come and work for me and make his fortune." At this, his mother's eyes widened with surprise. "I am sure your father never mentioned a brother," she hissed under his breath to her son. "But don't be so foolish as to point it out." And she set about making the merchant truly welcome. Next morning, Aladdin was horrified to find that he was woken up at sunrise, forced to wash and tidy his hair, and pushed out of doors to begin his new career. Still half asleep, he ran to keep up with his so-called uncle as he strode at a cracking pace through the bazaar, past the harbor, and right into the burning hot desert. "Find some food and build a fire," his uncle ordered, and from the tone of his voice, Aladdin thought it was best not to argue. His uncle scattered some strange smelling powder into the flames and chanted words in a weird language. There was a blaze of green fire and the ground trembled under their feet. The smoke cleared and a trapdoor appeared in front of them. Aladdin's uncle heaved it open and bellowed at Aladdin, "Go down and find me a lamb." Aladdin was frozen with fear, his teeth chattered and his knees knocked with terror at all that had happened. "You useless boy," Aladdin's uncle roared, sounding highly like Aladdin's mother. He took out a ring from his hand and shoved it roughly onto Aladdin's finger. "This magic ring will keep you safe. Now go." And he pushed Aladdin through the trapdoor and onto the staircase. Down, down, down into the darkness went Aladdin. He hurried through several gloomy caves and finally reached a beautiful garden. Many trees grew there, covered in brightly colored fruits. Aladdin couldn't resist picking a handful of the glassy fruits and filling his pockets and shirt with them. He gasped with relief when he saw a rusty lamp resting on the grass, and he stuffed that into his shirt too. Then he was off through the caves. Now Aladdin hadn't spent all the time in the streets without becoming very streetwise. He was highly suspicious of so-called uncle, and of course Aladdin's suspicions were right. The merchant was in fact an evil sorcerer who knew powerful black magic. The sorcerer's wicked arts had shown him the whereabouts of the cave and the powers of secret lamp that lay within. And he had worked hard for years to try to find a way in. Eventually, the sorcerer discovered that no one was allowed to enter the cave and take the lamp for themselves. Someone else had to do it for them. Someone like a street urchin who wouldn't be missed because that someone had to remain locked in the cave forever. Now Aladdin could see the sorcerer's eyes glinting greedily down through the square hole that led to the upper world. "Give me the lamp," the sorcerer barked. All Aladdin wanted to do was to get out of there as quickly as possible. "Help me out first and then I will give it to you," shouted back Aladdin. "I said, give me the lamp," the sorcerer insisted. Aladdin wasn't stupid. "Sure," he yelled, "just as soon as you let me out from here." "Give me the lamp, you stupid boy," roared the sorcerer. Well, that did it. Aladdin hated people telling him he was worthless. "No," he shouted. "I found it and now I am going to keep it." The sorcerers hopped about with rage, cursing and spluttering. "Then have it," he screamed, "and enjoy it in the darkness forever." He thundered out the magic word and trap door slammed shut with a massive crash. When Aladdin put his hands up and felt about, the opening was gone. "What have I done?" Aladdin moaned, wringing his hand. As he did so, he happened to rub the sorcerer's ring. There was a blinding flash and a huge genie stood before him. "I am the genie of the ring," the massive apparition thundered. "Speak your wish, O master, and I will obey." "I wish to heaven I was out of this cave," Aladdin howled. At once, Aladdin found himself back on the sand of the desert, blinking on the hot sunlight. He raced home and blurred out his whole story adventure to his mother. At first, she thought it was one of his usual stories, which he was narrating. But then, Aladdin showed her the multicolored grass, glass fruits, and rosy old lamp. "If we sell these glittery baubles and this old lamp," his mother sighed, "we'll at last have some pennies to buy bread and cheese to go with our soup tonight. But we won't get the best price for the lamp unless I try to clean it up a bit," said Aladdin. He picked it up and began to rub it. He picked it up and began to rub at it with his sleeves. Once more, there was a blinding flash and another genie, even bigger than the genie that had come out of the ring, stood before him. "I am the genie of the lamp," roared the enormous spirit. "Speak your wish, O master, and I will obey." "Bring us some food," was the starving Aladdin's command. Suddenly, there was a table before them, laden with huge golden platters of delicious food. Aladdin and his mother could hardly believe their eyes. In a few minutes, their stomachs were fuller than they had been in years. And after they had sold one of the gold platters in the market, their purses were too. The lives of Aladdin and his mother changed for better. They were clever not to arouse suspicion by selling the gold platters only one at a time. When their purses were empty, no one called them rich, although they lived much more comfortably than they did before. Life would probably gone on if Aladdin hadn't been caught up in town one day in great procession. Hundreds of slaves with sword at their sides came marching towards the bazaar. And in the middle of them, high on their shoulders, was a magnificent litter of gold and silver. As the litter was carried past Aladdin, the swishing silk curtain swung just a little to one side, and inside Aladdin glimpsed the beautiful princess Badrul Baddur. From that moment on, Aladdin fell head over heel in love. He couldn't speak, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep. Only thought of the beautiful princess Badrul Baddur. Aladdin's mother watched her son grow thinner and paler by the day and finally decided that she has to do something about it. Even if it was the most foolish thing she had ever done in her life, she loaded one of the golden platters with colored, glassy fruits that Aladdin has brought back from the sorcerer's cave, and she went to see the prince's father, the Sultan of Baghdad himself. Of course, the Sultan realized what the fruits were at once, and he had never seen such huge, fine diamonds, emeralds, rubies, and sapphires in his life. Being a greedy man and hoping that there were more where those come from, he agreed at once that Aladdin should marry his daughter and become his son-in-law. Aladdin was overjoyed, and that night he dared to use the lamp once more and conjure up the genie. By morning, a splendid palace with the golden domes and pearl spires and 999 stained glass windows have been built exactly opposite the Sultan's own palace. The Sultan clapped his hand with delight. The wedding festivities were held that very afternoon, and Aladdin took his beautiful bride to live in his splendid new home. It was fortunate that Princess Badrulbahadur felt the same way about Aladdin as he felt about her, and together they were completely happy until one day when Aladdin was out hunting and a ragged old peddler came through the streets of the bazaar shouting, "New lamps for all! New lamps for all!" The princess and her maid rushed to the 88th window of the palace to look out for the fey little man who was offering to swap good wares for bad. "How silly," the maid giggled, and rushed to exchange the rusty old lamp in Aladdin's room. As soon as Aladdin's lamp was in the peddler's hand, he gave a little cry of excitement and disappeared through the streets. A few seconds later, the princess, her maid, and the entire palace had vanished too. As you have probably guessed, the peddler was none other than the wicked sorcerer. Aladdin returned from his hunting trip to find his wife missing, his palace gone, and his father-in-law furious. "Bring me my daughter within 40 days, the Sultan roared, "or I will stuff your precious jewels into your mouth and make you eat them." Worst of all, Aladdin no longer had his wonderful lamp. "What am I going to do?" he moaned, standing all alone where his palace once stood. He wrung his hand in despair. As he did so, he rubbed the sorcerer's magic ring. In a flash, the genie of the ring stood before him once more. "Speak your wish, O master, and I will obey." Boomed the mighty spirit, "Bring back the palace with everyone and everything in," commanded Aladdin. But the genie shook his head firmly and said, "I cannot, master. The palace is under the power of genie of the lamp." Aladdin thought hard for a couple of seconds, and then his face brightened. "Then take me to my wife," he yelled. Suddenly, Aladdin was standing in his palace in front of his startled but overjoyed wife. "Hurry," Princess Badrulbahadur urged. "The sorcerer is out at the moment, but he keeps the lamp with him all the time. We have to think of a way to get it from him." The quick-witted Aladdin mixed a sleeping powder into the goblet of wine and gave it to the princess, asking her to make the sorcerer drink it, and hid behind a screen. A few moments later, the sorcerer came striding in, his cloak blowing behind him. Smiling, Princess Badrulbahadur rushed to offer him a refreshing drink, and as soon as the sorcerer thirstily drained the sleeping potion, he collapsed on the floor in a crumpled heap. Aladdin sprang out from behind the screen and searched within the sorcerer's clothes. At last, he held the wonderful lamp in his hand. He rubbed it, gave the order to the genie, and in the twinkling of eye, he, his wife, his palace, and the sorcerer were back in Baghdad. Aladdin and Princess Badrulbahadur breathed a sigh of relief. "I don't know about you," Aladdin said to his beautiful bride, "but I have had quite enough magic for one lifetime, and besides, now I have got you, I have got everything in the world I could possibly want. The princess nodded in agreement, and Aladdin once more rubbed the wonderful lamp. "I give you your freedom," he told the genie, and in a blinding flash, the overjoyed spirit was gone from the lamp forever. Aladdin, Princess Badrulul Baddur, and of course Aladdin's mother lived happily ever after. And when the sorcerer eventually woke up, he got what he had always wanted, the rusty old lamp, no more and no less. So with this, I'm ending this episode. If you like it, please share it with your friends, and please comment also, you know, what story you want to listen or watch in the next episode. Thank you for watching or listening. Bye bye.